3, 2, 1, it's Shazam!
The podcast that hopes to make itself obsolete.
I'm Kayla.
I'm Carissa, and
we have so many needs that we have a hierarchy, and we're going to tell you about it today.
Great. Yes.
Now
it's going to be good. How you doing, Kayla?
Oh, fine. We're here.
How descriptive.
Thank you.
So much information from that fine.
I think if you couldn't tell by my tone, then there's no point in me telling you anyway. No, everything's fine. We're just settled into what is life now. Do you know what? I'm really not so mad about quarantine or lockdown or anything. You know what? Fine. I actually don't like people, so I'm very comfortable just staying home all day, and that's great. You know what I don't like is that if I want to go or need to go to the grocery store, I'll suit up my face masks and I said masks, like I was wearing 16 different masks on my face.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, doubling. Kayla, like, yeah, she wears one over each eye.
Yep.
That is why there is a shortage. Kayla has all the masks.
Gotta protect the orifices. It's not so much that, like, it's annoying, but fine. I'm done with the amount of people don't understand what 6 feet is. It's not a hard unit of measurement. It's not. It's 2 yards. Remember yards? Yards were a thing that we did a lot of in the US-based education system. Just 6 feet. And who aren't wearing masks themselves. And if you don't wear a mask and you got corona and I have a mask and I don't have corona, chances are, unfortunately, higher than not that you're going to give it to me. And I don't want it. So if everyone can just please, I mean, my mask is made of a sock. I put in no effort. I put one end of the sock through the other with some hair ties and put it on my face. Is it great? No. Is it super comfortable? No. But I'd rather wear that than get corona. So if we're still worrying about masks, just wear a mask. How are you, Carissa?
Better than you, it seems like, you know.
I'm just done with stupidity, that's all.
It's hard to tell because I'm here and I'm not personally seeing what's going on in America, but I feel like things are a little better here. People are pretty good. Like, when you walk down the street, everybody moves 3 feet on either end of the sidewalk, and no one walks on the sidewalk. We walk around each other. So there's some good social distancing. And then there's just, like, outlier people here that are idiots. When we went grocery shopping a couple weeks ago, we did one big grocery shop where we got, like, a bucket of rice and stuff. And Richard and I went out. We had our masks, and we had gloves, and we took it very seriously. And there was a woman in the shop who picked up and touched every single orange, every single orange. And no mask, no nothing. Just touched every orange in the world. And I just thought the whole time, like, what are you doing? What is this? Do you not know? Do you not have a radio? What is going on? But mostly people are really good here.
That's good. It's at least just in our neighborhood, it is not that way.
Oh.
So I don't understand. It's fine. Just take care of yourselves, people. I get you're probably washing your hands. I just don't want you breathing anywhere near me.
Mm.
And a mask is very helpful.
Yeah, Miranda Soda.
A mask plus 6 feet.
Yeah, Miranda Soda each, like, really nice masks. So we have, like, good ones that are actually really comfortable to wear. So you can wear those to the shop. And then everything in the shops here are marked off with tape. So if you don't know what 6 feet is, it doesn't matter because you can just, like, point to the tape passive aggressively. You're not on the tape. Supposed to stand on the tape.
Have you seen the memes, though, where it was like you had one job, Corona edition, where it's people would put the tape 6 feet front to back, but side to side, they'd be like shoulder to shoulder.
Good thing you can't move sideways.
Right, that was exactly what the meme said.
Oh, yeah. Really? That's so funny. Oh, my
goodness.
God.
Speaking of Miranda, not all that long ago, she came in here and made a brilliant suggestion for a podcast, which we are recording now.
Yep.
Which was talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There was a meme. We'll post it on the Instagrams. That's a very funny meme. And based off of this pyramid of needs per person and how you have to build upon it. So you start with basic needs, just like how you have to live, and then keep going on and on and on. This is something I remember from high school and college psychology classes. So points to Miranda for knowing what this was today. But we had the idea to create the Shazam Does Maslow Hierarchy of Needs in different ways that we're accomplishing them. And you can take our suggestions or not and come up with your own.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah, we've all been in quarantine for quite a while now. And I think a lot of us are looking for guidance or suggestions. We've worked through our to-do lists. We're not quite sure what we should be doing or could be doing. And keep in mind, our list is just stuff that we've been doing or we're interested in. And you are obligated to do no things right now. If you just want to sit in bed and do nothing, that is also totally fine.
Yeah, that's part of the first level. Because I think we might have talked about this last episode, but I was really going to try to be super productive. I was like, this is my time. And then I just wasn't. And I'm productive when I want to be, but I realize that I don't have to be productive at magic, or I don't have to be productive at performing right now, because it's a pandemic and I'm going to deal with it how I want to. And do you know what I haven't had in years? Is a hobby. And so I am discovering hobbies that I either used to do and haven't done in a while, or haven't done ever. And so just like trying to round out my day where it's not just brainstorming new routines or thinking about how not to do a live stream. So that's nice. Shall we start, Carissa?
Let's start. So the first level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is physiological needs. So that's going to be like food, water, warmth, and rest. So do you want to start, Kayla?
Food. Here are a couple things that we've been doing here in Los Angeles. One, Instacart has been 90% awesome. You know, it's got its flaws, especially because there are so many people deciding to use it right now, obviously. So we can't use it all the time, but we're trying to use it the majority of the time, and it's great. And if you haven't used it, I suggest hopping on it. You can choose your grocery store. One thing that I learned is when you get a notification that your person is going shopping, just be on your phone with the app ready to go, because they will contact you with questions, or you'll see when something is out of stock and if they replace it with a thing. You just have to be there just to make sure you're getting what you want or responding to questions. One time something happened, I don't know what it was, but somebody started shopping for us at 8 o'clock in the morning, and guess who wasn't awake? And we got a lot of wrong things. I don't know why. I scheduled it for 2 to 5 p.m. It's fine. So we got a lot of wrong things. And I felt really bad because the guy was like outside of our door for a long time. Anyway.
Oh, no.
But Instacart has been pretty great. We've enjoyed it a lot. Carissa?
Great. I've been working on baking a lot, just like everybody else in the universe, but we have some
There's no active dry yeast anywhere.
No, but we have some special restraints here because Miranda is lactose intolerant and gluten intolerant. So all of the baking has to be gluten-free and dairy-free. And I'm not that familiar with gluten-free and dairy-free things, but have I ever been having fun? We made brownies, and I did protein balls, and I made a cheesecake. And I've been working a lot from the recipes on The Minimalist Baker. I'm kind of obsessed with that website now. At this point, I just kind of like go through it and pull recipes onto my Pinterest boards and save them, because they're just, I'm like, oh, I'll make that. Oh, I'll make that. And even when I Google something, like, oh, how do you make this thing? Often the recipe that comes up that I want to make is just a Minimalist Baker one anyway, so highly recommend Minimalist Baker.
If you're looking on that the route too, you guys should try the Vegan 8, because Vegan 8? Everything it the Vegan 8, the vegan and then the number 8. So yes, it is vegan baking and cooking, but if it's not initially made gluten-free, there's a gluten-free option of everything. And then obviously it's dairy free because it's vegan. There's sometimes oil, sometimes not. So it's not a whole foods plant-based, but it is vegan, and often a lot of stuff is whole foods-y. So that's really good. I'm trying to remember what recipes you would have had. Anyway, we were making these peanut butter cookies that are to die for. And So there's just a lot of really good options on her website, and it's free. Then you can like buy her cookbooks and stuff. But it's this mom that has three kids that's trying to make them eat vegan and healthy. So she's been pretty awesome. That's been a great website. Also, just on that line too, we belong to Plant-Based Ben. So if you're looking for more recipes, Plant-Based Ben's really cool because it's $10 a month, but you choose how many recipes you want throughout the week. Everything is whole foods, plant-based diet. But what is really cool is it throws it into a grocery list. And so then you get a grocery list you can either print out or put into an app. So that's really fun. Those recipes have been great. He has an amazing pad thai. It's the only pad thai I've ever made, and I'll never make another one.
Oh, that's so great. And then we went out and bought a couple of kind of creature comfort essentials. I didn't realize how much I would long for coffee shops. I so long for coffee shops. And all we had when we started this was a French press, which is not a terrible way to go. French press coffee is very good. And we buy only super high quality local, support local coffee. So it's all good coffee. But we recently invested in both a Bodum style hand milk frother, not a powered one, but one that you hand pump, and a cold brew unit. And again, not a powered one, but like one that's just the filter and the big, beautiful base. And I literally use those both every single day. Every day I have at least some cold brew because it's always in the fridge. So it's good for like all day. And then a milk frother is just so luxurious. I can make myself matcha lattes because I bought matcha, and I can make myself, we have one of those really nice Italian stovetop espresso makers now. Oh, such good. And I mean, these aren't that expensive. I think the cold brew unit was like $25 Canadian, so it'd be cheaper in America. The stovetop frother was like $40, and it's a nice big giant one, and the frother was like $25-$30. They're not expensive, but you know, they really quelled my incredibly obsessive desire to have a fancy coffee.
I think that's great. Because I don't really put in a lot of effort where the kitchen is concerned, we've been doing very well with not eating out because of obviously saving money and germs. But we try, usually every week we eat out for like two meals total. And we try to support our local vegan restaurants and restaurants that we would go to. There's a vegan food truck fair here right down the street that we are going to every Sunday, and that obviously isn't happening. So we try to still order from those restaurants. And Uber Eats and Postmates have been doing some really great promotion things. So it's like if you spend $40, you get 10% off or some kind of outrageous percentage. So that's been really nice. I know there are reasons to not order food because people are preparing it, but it's very easy to just wipe down the bag and the containers. Because somebody touched the bag with their hands or gloves does not mean they put corona on it. So just wipe it down. There's no reason to not support a restaurant just because you don't feel like wiping down a bag. So I've seen a lot of Facebook things that are like, don't order from restaurants because employees aren't using gloves. Gloves are the same thing as your hands, people. You just take them off. But you're still touching things. It's the same jam. So yeah, I've been having a great time with the promotions on Uber Eats and Postmates. And all the delivery fees are free.
Wow.
So we've been ordering from like really far away.
No, that's a good advice. We've eaten out, like ordered in, I suppose, twice in the last month and a half. We did like a fancy gluten-free veggie fancy burger place once. And we did Indian ones. And that's it. The most part, other than that, you know, all three of us can cook. And we have a lot of fresh food here to go through because we did a couple of massive grocery shops. Yeah, our big point of pride has been that we have not thrown away anything.
Nice.
You know, kitchen scraps get turned into vegetable broth, or we have our like a little house garden. And so like a kitchen scrap will be used to sprout more of it, or things have gotten put into soups or sauces, or if we freeze stuff. Like right now we have dill that's about to go off, so we're going to soak it and freeze it today so that we have dill cubes. But like we have not thrown away a heel of a bread. Nothing has gotten moldy. Nothing has, we've been so good about it. And so not only has cooking been like nice, but also it's become kind of a game where it's like, how crazy can we do? How well can we cook so that we don't waste a single molecule of food?
Yeah, no, we haven't done that. Great. So the next part of physiological needs is water. You know, drink it.
Mm-hmm. Drink water. What else are you doing? You're just sitting at home. If you are dehydrated right now, you got some problems because you're not busy. Drink some water. Just, in fact, just everybody right now, while you're listening to the podcast, go get some water. Everybody go get some water or a liquid of some kind. Go get water. Part of how I've been drinking more water is that we have a soda stream now, and fizzy water is so good. So good.
Great. Just drink water. Also, the next thing is warmth. Mm-hmm. And you might think, oh, a blanket or a sweater. Nope. We want to talk to you about our favorite alcoholic beverages.
Yes. Okay. So.
Because what else provides good warmth?
We have definitely been on the fancy cocktail train here at the HMSS quarantine. We got a few really nice boozes early on from a local distillery that's actually just down the street. We can walk there. And now we're talking about getting a few more fancy things. But for scotch, I'm a Glenmorangie, a Bowmore, and a Glenfiddich girl. You are?
Well, it depends. I'm going to have Johnny Blue if there's a special occasion and I don't have to pay for it because it's very expensive. So I've never actually paid for Johnny Blue. Usually it's on my, when you perform at the castle, you get a posse card with all this money for food and drink. So it's that. And then I got a bottle three years ago for my birthday. And that's still being worked on. So that's like a lovely celebration thing. But if I'm just at a bar, Maker's is fine. Glen Scotia is like a Scotland-based scotch or whiskey. So that's yummy in certain areas, but it's not so great in the U.S.
Mm.
But yeah, Maker's is fine. It's just easy.
Yeah, Maker's is totally fine. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
For bourbon, when John Reed and I were on tour, I got really into bourbon with John because John loves his bourbon. And we actually went to the Bullet Distillery. And regular Bullet bourbon is good, but Bullet Bourbon Black Label is like...
It's really good.
Oh my God, it's nonsense. It's nonsense mm-hmm. crazy good. And then Buffalo Trace tends to be my go-to for like, you know, I think that's what I got us. We have some in the house, I think. That was the one I just immediately got because it's just so consistent and good.
I actually think slightly better than Bullet Black Label is Knob Creek. And it's because it's cheaper, but it's got kind of the same like silky deliciousness that a bourbon has. But you can get it more conveniently at bars, and so Knob Creek is usually my go-to.
Nice. For gin, I'm a big Hendrix drinker, not just because of the name, but because I really like the taste. And then they just came up with, like, I think it's called Orbium. I've never had to order it. I just have drank it from the bottle. Like, I recognize the label. I don't know how to say it, but it's really good. It's like a really herbaceous, lovely gin, and also, obviously, Bombay Sapphire is kind of my staple gin.
I double down on Hendrix, but recently I tried Aviator, the Ryan Reynolds gin.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Interesting.
It's no Hendrix. Hendrix is the best, but Aviator's good.
I agree. Yeah, I agree that Hendrix is the best. I've never tried Aviator. I recently had some of this House of Sanctuary Haku vodka, and it was sort of the first time I realized that vodka can be interesting, because I mostly drink Belvedere because it's so easy to drink. It's just like really easygoing and chill, and I kind of thought that was the gold standard for vodka, but Haku vodka, it's just a little bit more like interesting. It has its own business, but then you have to be kind of careful with it in cocktails because it's got so much of its own vibe that it can kind of like change a cocktail in a way you're not expecting.
So I've been experimenting with making martinis here, mm-hmm. and so some have turned out great and others have turned out really, really bad. I tried to make like a lime and chili martini. Ooh. And it was nope.
it was
the worst thing I've ever put in my body. That's not true, but it was pretty close. It was terrible. But with that, I just bought a bottle of Tito's because Tito's is the easiest. So when you have for vodka, the higher up in quality you go, so the more times it's distilled, the better quality, the less it's good in flavors. So Belvedere is really bad if you want to have it with, like, in a juice. But something like Smirnoff, even though it's the college kids vodka, the reason it's the college kids vodka is you can put it in a juice and you don't taste it. And it's cheap. So that's the point. So Tito's is a really good sort of mid-level. Belvedere is great for straight up martinis. So is Grey Goose, although Grey Goose has sugar, but Belvedere is like really good for a dirty martini or a regular martini or like a slightly flavored one. Tito's is good if you want to experiment with a cocktail, which is probably half the reason that that vodka you were just talking about that I'm not going to try to pronounce is hard to put into cocktails because it has such a specific, delicious, probably super distilled flavor that it doesn't mix well with other stuff. So vodkas you have to be careful with, but it's been fun to experiment with martinis. It's been a while since I've made drinks, so that was fun.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed
we've
it.
been mixing more because we have the soda stream. So we've been mixing more like soda-based cocktails. And I just ordered, and it should be here in a couple of days. I just ordered this really fancy dirty martini mix. It's not just olive juice. It's like olive juice that brine that has been distilled and fermented in a way that's specific to dirty martinis. And it's so good. And so that is going to be my new jam. It's just like dirty martinis for a couple of weeks. That's all I want in the whole world.
They're so good.
So good.
It's so
Yeah,
good.
old-fashioned Negroni are not that difficult to mix at home. Really good staple drinks. A mojito is not that hard to make at home. We're growing our own mint here, so we have a kind of all the stuff to make a mojito.
Last year, I got really into Josh wine. It used to not be available in stores so much, and now basically everything except a Pinot Grigio, I'm not even sure if they make a Pinot Grigio, is in stores. So Josh wine is good. Also, there's one type of whiskey called Jura that I keep hearing about. It's from this little island, and it's like this whiskey that has sustained the economy of this island. It's spelled Jura. I have not tried it, but I've heard amazing things. It's a little pricey, so if you're looking to save money during the quarantine, maybe don't buy that because you have to ship it from the tiny island. But I've heard it's delicious and absolutely worth it.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, the thing is if you're drinking stuff like a martini, then you want a higher quality booze. If you're going to put it in a cocktail, it doesn't need to be quite as fancy. So I think it really depends also, like, what are you going to do with your booze? Are you just drinking it straight out of the bottle? Well, that's a whole different conversation. Maybe drink some water. You okay, buddy?
Water's good. Drink water. Oh, I've been drinking a lot of grapefruit juice. That's been nice. It's just a juice. Delicious. Anyway, last part of physiological needs. We've been talking for a long time and we're not even done with the first one, is rest. How are you getting good rest, Carissa?
I have built myself a really lovely bedtime ritual that is kind of like a thing I can look forward to all day. And when I find my sleep is starting to get out of control, I wear my Fitbit to track my sleep because it just makes me more conscious of it. I think Kayla already knows. I don't know how much I've talked about this podcast. I'm not a great sleeper. I was diagnosed with a sleeping disorder in my late teens. And mostly I'm fine now. I've mostly got under control. But if I have like two or three bad nights sleep in a row, it can sort of snowball. So I have to be really careful. So Fitbit on days, like if I didn't sleep well the night before, then for the next 2 days, I'll wear my Fitbit because it just makes me really aware that sleep is my priority now. But I have a little diffuser. Edmonton is so dry. It's like the driest place in the world. So I have a little oil diffuser and I have some bergamot oil. And I have a different oil called London Fog, which is basically just citrus and bergamot. And then I have some citrusy ones and a little bit of oil. And I run it in the room while I go have a nice long bath. And that bath, that's when I do my long face washy thing and like take care of my skin and maybe watch a couple late night shows. And then by the time I get back into the room, the whole room is full of mist and like smells good. And then I have sleep headphones that are comfortable to wear when I sleep. And I'll either put on like a podcast that I don't care about, like with somebody who's got kind of a drony voice, or one I've already heard, or I'll just put on like a noise machine thing just to kind of drown out the sound because the wind here is quite loud. And when you're living with other people in like an apartment building situation, you kind of never know when there's going to be a bump in the night. And I'd really like to get my full 8 hours. So I have like an eye mask and sleep headphones. And so I'm really in my own environment. And then also almost every day, not every day because it's very hard to do anything every day lately, I've been using the Headspace app to meditate. And I find the days when I meditate for at least 10 minutes, I find it much easier to get to sleep. I can usually get to sleep about a half hour quicker if I've meditated. What about you? How have you been sleeping?
Oh, fine. I also am not a good sleeper, but what is usually my go-to ritual in the evening. We just got bamboo pillows.
Ooh, nice.
So they're really comfortable. My parents sent them to us, which was very nice because I had said, our pillows are getting bad. And so they sent us these bamboo pillows. They're really great.
Did they send you more napkins along with the bamboo pillows?
Just so many napkins. I don't understand. There were so many napkins. My parents sent a care package and it was just filled with napkins. Oh, we'll have napkins for years, which is fine. Also, my pillows have silk pillowcases, so they're nice and cool, which is great. So my recipe for any sort of sleep is like my comfy pillows, my teeth thing for my grinding my teeth, my very lovely weighted blanket. I put on the British Baking Show, take half an edible, and I'm out in like an hour.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
I've gotten really into, and I realize this is still in 2020 a controversial topic, but I've gotten really into usage of edibles for sleep or for, like, if my body's really bad, I can take a half of, like, a daytime one, not a sleepy one, and feel better. It just helps. So I don't get high. Like, I'm not, you can, I have no, you know, there's no problem with that, but I'm not, like, blitz out of my mind every day. But the half of one with the indica at night is freaking fantastic. And also, if you are, because of traveling and stuff, if you live in a place that doesn't have legalized marijuana, CBD is legal in all 50 states in the US. And so I have a CBD vape pen that also helps me go to sleep, which is really, really great. So I'm big into the medicinal marijuana usage, which I'm enjoying very much. It works. So why not?
Nice. And it's much better than what most people do, which is there's a huge culture around like having a drink to fall asleep, which just really damages your sleep quality. It might make you fall asleep sooner, but you'll wake up and have like shorter REM cycles. And so way better answer if you're kind of like a late night cocktail drinker. If you're doing it for sleep, you're doing a bad job. I so aggressively miss my weighted blanket. I have one in LA. And it's not reasonable to ship it here. And I keep thinking, like, should I just buy another one? Is it unreasonable to buy another one? Because it's going to be hot here soon.
You should do it.
Oh, but it's going to be hot. And I'm not going to want it anyway because it'll be too hot here.
No, that's the point, though. Because if you have a good weighted blanket, the idea is that you get the weight plus of a normal comforter, but it's not hot. So you should make sure you have the right kind of weighted blanket for that purpose. But that's the main thing that sold me on getting the weighted blanket is that I like having a comforter or two on me, but not the heat of it. So with the weighted blanket, it should be thin enough that it's not hot, but you feel the pressure.
Yeah, I might have to get another one. I really miss it. I think about it all the time. Like, I just remember when I had it, falling asleep and then not waking up to pee and not waking up in the middle of the night and just waking up 8 hours later and going, oh, what? Huh? Because I also have my headphones. Everything's such so cocoony right now. It's just what's missing. Mm-hmm. Weighted blankets are the best thing.
Yeah. Best. Can't recommend any more. And honestly, they're like, I think mine was $60 on Amazon. So you can get them for pretty inexpensive. And mine's great. It unfortunately got snagged in the dryer. So it has a little bit of duct tape on it right now. But besides that, it is high quality, good stuff.
Excellent.
Shall we move on to the next part of the pyramid?
Yes. What is the next element of the pyramid, Kayla?
It says safety needs.
Ooh.
So ways to feel like you're safe. One of the things in here says personal security, employment, resources, health, property. I want to talk really briefly. This is specifically for people in the U.S. is unemployment. I don't know why this is happening, but over a month ago, we were told that for unemployment, people who are self-employed or gig workers, artists, small business owners, all the, like everybody basically, unless you make some crazy amount of money, everybody can apply for unemployment. And I've spoken to 6 different friends in the last week who had no idea. So If you are in the US and you primarily work for in gigs or are you self-employed, get on the unemployment train. Here's what you need to know when you apply, though. The unemployment system in the US is in a system that was put in place in the 90s on and in 1980s coding system, and it has never been updated. So it's not built for today. And it's definitely not built for the pandemic. So what you need to do is know you have to get through all the first couple of pages, which will say, you know, why did your employer let you go? And you're like, I am my employer and we're in a pandemic. So it's very confusing at first. But once you get through it, just answer things logically. I think you have to answer yes to, like, could you work theoretically? Like, could you actually work right now? The answer is yes. You could, in theory, work right now if there wasn't a pandemic. And once you get through all of that, the very last page is that for self-employed, gig workers, artists, etc. So you have to kind of go through it, but the last page is the one that you really want. And then you have to give it like 2 weeks in order to hear anything. Also know that this is the dumbest thing. In California, you don't have a choice, but in other states, you might have a choice and you need to make sure you make the choice on the form, which is you could get direct deposit. You could get a check. Depends on how you decide to fill out the form. But unemployment is a state by state situation. It's not the federal government. So even though you might get your taxes in a direct deposit, you have to say that's what you want. However, in California, you get mailed to you a debit card linked to a brand new debit account through Bank of America. And then you have to log into that account. That's where they put the money. So they direct deposit it into this account they've made for you. And then you can move the money from this account to your account. And each week they will give you the money into this Bank of America account. So it's not fun because now all of a sudden you have a bank account you don't want. But I didn't know that and was very confused. And of course, you can't call anybody to ask questions because in California, it's open from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's 4 hours a day. And there are 15 million people on unemployment. That's not accurate. That's not a real number. There are a lot of people on unemployment, but it's not 15 million yet. Maybe it is. Anyway, so just know all of that. Get on and applying because it's worth it. I have applied. I've been on it for a month. It's a terrible thing to have to do, but it's been great. So happy. How's Canada doing with that?
It's good. We have a thing here for artists called CERB, and you can apply for it. When it first got started, you couldn't apply for it if you made any money. So my $100 a month I make from Penguin disqualified me from getting national funding, which is fine because now they've changed it. So now you can make up to $1,000. It's $2,000 a month for up to 4 months, so I can start applying for that for next month. But also in Canada, we have a lot of support for arts grants. So, you know, the Alan Slate Foundation is offering $500 for necessities to any full-time magician in Canada. The National Art Center is doing these live stream grants, which we got one of. So that'll be a thing next month. They'll be doing a live stream show for a grand, which will be nice, although I've basically already spent all that money on technical apparatus to accomplish it, so it doesn't look like trash. It's very expensive, I realized, to make things look like not trash.
Yep.
Even just in cords, so I can plug my computer straight into the internet. Very expensive. But yeah, we have quite a bit in terms of support here in Canada. I don't know how long that support's going to last, but it's good to get in on it when you can and just to try to be frugal and good with your money. Another thing that's kind of valuable to do right now is go to your Apple account if you are an iPad, iPhone user. Click on your account, go down to subscriptions, and look at your subscription list, and maybe unsubscribe from a few things. It'll all be listed there what you're subscribed to. So instead of trying to like figure it out through your bill, just going straight to your Apple thing, you can unsubscribe from things right away and take a look at it. And then also maybe using a system like Mint or some kind of amalgamation banking system to take a look at your monthly expenses and see if there's something that you don't need right now. I think we all have like memberships to things that we probably are not using at this moment because they involve us traveling. Like if I had been paying monthly for my priority pass, I would not be paying for that right now. Unfortunately, I paid for it for the year because I didn't know there was going to be a pandemic. So what a waste of money. Anyway, I think that's another way to kind of get on top of your financial setup. And if you don't know where your money is and you don't know how much it is, it's much harder to plan for the future. So just trying to get like an amalgamation system or even just a piece of paper and a pen and just kind of getting a bird's eye view of your current financial position.
What are you doing for exercising?
I have been, I know you hate this. This is your least favorite thing, but I've been running a little bit.
Running.
Yep. Runkeeper is a really great app for running. It's really great. If I'm not running, I'm often just going for like long walks because 20 minutes of just walking a day makes a big difference. And then also I just downloaded the Nike trainer last week and I did a couple of little things with it and it's kind of fun and great. There are a few programs on it you can do without any equipment whatsoever, just stuff from home. Pretty great. And then also Beat Saber is a lot of how I get my exercise, or the game Just Dance now has an app for the iPad, and that's a fun thing to play in your room when nobody's watching and they can't judge you, and they have lots of songs that are really fun. So on days when I cannot make myself put my shoes on and go for a walk, when I can't motivate myself to do like a Nike trainer video, I can at least play Just Dance or play on the Oculus and get a little bit of movement out of my body. What about you?
We joined Beachbody with Sean T.
Fun.
It's great, actually, because what's awesome is, so we're doing, both of us are doing T25, and it's a 25-minute, pretty extensive workout, but there's a woman who does a bunch of modifications. So if you are like me and your knees and most of your body are broken, then some of the exercises you just can't do like everybody else. So you just follow Tanya. Tanya is a real, I really don't like her. She's just a real attention hog. But anyway, if anybody watched Insanity, you know what I'm talking about. It's good, but also Beachbody has so many different programs. So they have yoga. They have one that we were looking into with MMA fighting.
Ooh.
Which is really cool, but it's also not super intense, where it's, you have a lot of different abilities, even just in the video, but the people that are there are such differing abilities that you end up having a lot of really cool modifications you can make. Beachbody has something for everybody, and it has things from easy to hard, from short to long, and it's $99 for a year. But they are doing, I think, a free trial right now, which is really cool. So if you're looking for a fun exercise, there are just so many options that you're going to find the program that you enjoy. It's not just one workout video either. It's like a 30-day program. So they're really, really fun. We do them like 3 or 4 days a week, and they've been really great. So those are cool. They cast the TV.
Ooh, nice. It's nice. That's yeah. Really nice. Okay, great.
Yep. Would you like to introduce the next section?
Absolutely. In case you're unfamiliar with the concept of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, is the idea is that you need things on the bottom of the pyramid before you can want things on the next level of the pyramid, which is why we're doing it in this order. Also, I should say that Maslow's hierarchy of needs has been slightly discredited, but it's a fun way to talk about things. So the next thing is belongingness and love needs, so intimate relationships and friends. Kayla, how have you been maintaining your intimate relationships and friendships? Do you even have any intimate relationships?
No. Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
Nothing.
Oh, did you? I really want an answer. Sorry. So a couple things. We've been having a lot of FaceTime, Zoom, Skypes, whatever, meals with friends, which has been really fun. So I'd say at least 4 or 5 nights a week, we've got a meal with somebody, which has been really great. And that's just, we catch up and sometimes it's a lot of yelling at each other about how terrible this all is. And then other times it's just talking about whatever we want, which has been very great. It definitely gives you like a reason to cook and put on pants, which is good. So that's been really nice. And there will be for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So it's just nice to have conversation with somebody, even if it is through a screen. We've also, through Zoom, we have a game we play called Mansions of Madness. It's a really cool board game that if you're into longer board games, then this is a really fun one. It has an app companion plus a board game set on the table. It's really great. And another friend of ours, Ben and Gwen from Magic Bar, they also have Mansions. So we've been playing via Zoom. So we share the iPad screen and then we lay out our own tables. And so we've been playing it once a week, and that's like a 3 to 5 hour commitment. So it's just this lovely evening of playing games, which is cool. Like we have dinner and then play, and that's nice. And then there's also, so I have not done this, but Harrison and his friends did this. It's a website called netgames.io, netgames.io. And they have, let me just pull it back up because they have some really cool options. So you can play it. It's like a Netflix watch party, but you play a game. So they have One Night Ultimate Werewolf, Codename, Secret Hitler, Spyfall, Love Letter, and Avalon. Ooh. I don't know Avalon or Love Letter.
Love Letter's like Codenames, but slightly different.
Got it. Secret Hitler and Codenames are a reason alone to do this. And I do believe it's free. It is. So those are really cool. You can play with a bunch of people. So that's really fun. So those have sort of been a couple of things we're doing. How about you?
I've really enjoyed Netflix watch parties. Lovick and I, when we're in real life, we like go to movies and then we hate them over frozen yogurt. It's kind of our thing. So now we just watch movies on Netflix together and hate them. And it's really fun because it's our own little, like, we'll be watching the movie, but we deliberately pick movies that are maybe not going to be so great. And then and we just had to because we watched too many terrible movies in a row. And they were all kind of terrible in the same way in that they were like, women are objects and they are only here as a representation of a man's success. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. But that's been really fun. Netflix Watch Party is just a little app you can download on Chrome. And it allows you to kind of watch something with someone else. You don't have to do that thing where you go like, 1, 2, 3, start. It'll just play it together. And there's a little chat area where you can chat. It's lovely. Also, Skype coffees with people. So there's a number of people that I've stayed in touch with and just had like chill Skype chat afternoons with. And I've also been using that to do my coaching. But it's been really nice to just like have a cocktail with somebody and hang out and talk about their situation and catch up and just really relaxing. You know, make sure people are not losing their mind. It's also nice to know that the people you care about are okay, because I think part of it too is a lot of my anxiety kind of revolves around worrying that people I care about are like alone right now and they're not doing well. And so checking in with them and knowing they're okay is also good for my mental well-being, because I don't, like, a part of my brain isn't just on alert the whole time being like, I hope they're okay, I should message them. Are they all right? Are they, you know, like high-risky people? So yeah, Skype coffees and Netflix parties. And then also there have been a couple, I know that we're not a huge fan of live streams here on Shazam because most of them are terrible, but there have been a couple that have been really lovely. My friend Simon did a little live stream concert of his music and some stuff from his new album. And we set up a picnic in the living room and made sandwiches and just had like a picnic in the park, quote unquote, but actually at the apartment listening to his music. And that was really nice.
I saw a really cool live stream event done by the music group Fruit Flies Like a Banana. And I had seen them actually at an Indianapolis Fringe Festival. And they're freaking great. If you get a chance to YouTube Fruit Flies Like a Banana, they're fantastic. But they did a really cool Zoom show that had a lot of interaction to it. And so it was easily the best live stream I've seen so far, even though it was still wonky and new and experimental. It was cool, the effort to make it interactive with 50 people on a Zoom was really fun.
Cool, yeah. There are a few good ones. I still haven't watched the One World at Home Together that Lady Gaga did with all of the late night hosts and stuff, but that looks like it was pretty good.
All you have to do is watch Celine, and then you're done.
Of course. Didn't she finale it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course she did.
Of course. Are you kidding?
No. Yeah.
Of course. Come now. Yeah, it was her, Andrea Bocelli, Lady Gaga. And then for some reason, John Legend showed up real fast, but there was no point. And I'm missing someone. Someone else was in there singing the prayer. And it was perfect. Anyway, so the last section, do we want to just sort of like, what if we just rattle these off almost like lightning round style?
Yeah.
We don't have to explain everything that we've done because the list is massive.
Yeah. Okay. So the next section is esteem and accomplishments. And we're going to go really general with this. This is like, I think people get a sense of accomplishment from finishing a game or from reading a book or listening to a podcast. Like anything that you can start and finish is an accomplishment. Kayla and I made a huge list and it is extensive. So we're going to go really, really fast and try not to explain it too much. Games. Okay, so right now I am playing a lot of Oculus. And just as a tip, if you have an Oculus, I highly recommend the Survival Frog USB rechargeable batteries. They plug into your computer because the thing with the Oculus is that it requires 2 AA batteries, and who uses AA batteries anymore? It's crazy. So these actually charge by plugging into a USB port, so you don't need any special charger with you, which is great. And then on my iPad, I've been playing Picture Cross, which is like a numbers puzzle game, Tetris, World of Goo, Space Team. Kayla, have you played Space Team?
No.
It's so good. Everybody has their own console, and you have to, like, you're controlling a ship. It's really great. It's very shouty. Aurelux is a game where it's just little dots, and it's kind of like a fighting game, but it's very simple. Kayla, what have you been playing for games?
Well, I always play backgammon, even if it's just with myself. We also have Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle, and we just sort of keep that out on the coffee table because it's 7 years of playing, which is great. Mention the games via Zoom. Oh, I bought a logic puzzles book.
Ooh.
Like a workbook, and that has been awesome. So I do one or two puzzles every morning while drinking coffee, and that's been really nice. Logic puzzles are the ones with the grid, so you get like a clue, and then you have to fill out in the grid per the clue what happened and who didn't do what and who did and whatever, and then you have to narrow it down. They're really fun. That's it. I don't play a lot of games.
I might want the link to that because that sounds like something fun to do over coffee. I've been reading news over coffee and I can't anymore.
Just Amazon logic book, logic puzzles book.
Nice.
And there's a bunch of them. They're all great.
All right. Of course, at this time also, probably people are getting super into apps. Some of those games I mentioned are actually apps you can use on your iPad or your iPhone. I'm a big fan of Libby. If you've never heard of it, you should get this. It allows you to log into your library with your library card number and borrow books on your iPad or smartphone. You can borrow audiobooks and physical books, and you can put holds on things, and it's awesome. And if you're really clever, you can also put somebody else's library card on it so that you can have books from more than one city. I don't know who would do that. That's silly. Definitely not me. Audible is a big thing for me. I listen to podcasts a lot. I use Overcast to listen to podcasts rather than the Apple Podcast app because I just think Overcast is a better podcast listening environment. I listen to a lot of music using Spotify, Headspace I mentioned already. Coursera is a really great website and app where you can do university level courses primarily for free. I'm right now doing a couple of courses from the MoMA, and there are like quizzes at the end of the week and assignments, and so it feels very much like being back in college, and I kind of love it. Duolingo, I'm relearning French. Procreate to do like some drawing that you don't have to invest in crayons to play with. What about you?
I mentioned my delivery, food delivery, Uber Eats and Postmates. They got good deals. And then I got a new iPhone, so you get a year of Apple TV.
Nice.
So I've got the Apple TV shows. And then Disney Plus has been really fun to go back and watch some 90s movies and programming.
When we get into the movie section, I mean Disney Plus, you guys. We'll talk about it in a section.
Everyone should also watch Jeff Goldblum Sees the World or whatever it's called. That is the best show ever to be created.
Ugh, I'm so livid about that show because before Corona, they were going to come to the castle. And now they're not coming to the castle because Corona.
Mm.
So podcasts. I've been really interested in NPR's Life Kit is pretty great. Hidden Brain, the Science Versus podcast is pretty great. The Illusionist, a podcast about words. The Guilty Feminist, obviously, we're obsessed with. Bechdelcast, we're obsessed with. Dear Hank and John is like a terrible advice podcast, and you shouldn't listen to any of the advice, but it's very funny. Anthropocene Reviewed is like different parts of human life being reviewed on a 5-point scale that don't normally get reviewed, and it's pretty lovely. What about you?
So I've scaled back significantly on the news because it's sad and annoying and stupid. So there are two podcasts I still listen to for the news because it's all comedy based. So one is called What a Day from Crooked Media, and the other is Love It or Leave It with John Lovett. Those two, it's because it's all comedy based, done by very smart people, then those are to me the best news ones because they are the best. And they're funny. Hysteria is also from Crooked Media, and it's a podcast centered around women. That's a really good one to keep going. It's still newsy, so I don't listen to it every day or every week, but it's a really fun one. And then non-news ones, Do Go On, which is a brilliant podcast out of Australia from Planet Broadcasting. They're really fun. They're three comedians who report on a topic. One person does a report and all this research, and the other two don't know about the topic and comment. And it's just a really fun, lighthearted, no news cycle podcast. They've talked about like Amelia Earhart and just lots of fun things. They make even sad news stories really enjoyable. And then The Office Ladies. So The Office, the television show from the US, the US version, obviously ended in 2013. And then Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, who played Pam and Angela on The Office, who are best friends in real life, are doing a podcast now where they go episode by episode and tell you all the fun little details from episodes that
we as the viewers don't get to see or maybe didn't notice. And that's really, really great.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. And then obviously there's a ton of magic podcasts, Discourse of Magic, The Magic Word, Successful Performer Cast, and Kids Entertainer Podcast, The Magicians Podcast, Gingerosity, Two Magicians, One Mic, Scampalooza. There's so many magic podcasts. You cannot listen to all of them. You'll lose your mind. But if you want to
listen to... Oh, and don't forget The Penguin Podcast by our good buddy Eric Tate. That's a fantastic one.
Of course. How did Eric's not get on my list? Oh my God. I love Eric's podcast. So yeah. Very good. There's lots of really great magic podcasts. Again, don't listen to all of them because you will lose your mind. And also, a lot of us get the same guests all the time, so yeah. Okay, TV. We have been binge-watching Orange is the New Black. We're just about to start binge-watching all of Drag Race. We watched The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. Fantastic. Kim's Convenience on Netflix, a Canadian cute situational comedy thing. And then Boy Meets World. We've been going back and rewatching Boy Meets World. And that thing holds up so well. It's so good. Like, it's tear-jerky and perfect. And it's like, it's exactly what you hope those shows were like. It's everything. I'm so into Boy Meets World. What about you?
We have been rewatching Desperate Housewives, which, you know, ended in 2008. And that also still holds up with the exception of a couple of references, but it is fantastic. It's just kind of a mindless, silly drama, but then you're also super involved in it because you really want to know what happens to everybody, and everybody always makes bad choices, so it's great. Then Love is Blind on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, what are you doing? What a joyous show of people meeting and then falling in love without ever seeing each other. And then will they get married 30 days later? Totally based on reality. The Masked Singer has definitely kept us going because it's a bunch of very famous people in amazingly extravagant costumes singing songs. And it's just great. Then if you want something that's a little bit more on the serious side, Killing Eve is the best television show ever made. I will not have a debate on it. And then another really great show, which is, this show is really hard to watch, but it's important for anyone who wants to explore topics around feminism and sexual assault in the workplace, especially because sexual assault is so strange to sometimes define, that The Morning Show on Apple TV, which is with Reese Witherspoon, Steve Carell, and Jennifer Aniston. I believe Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon created it or produced it. They're very highly involved with the production of the show and also act in it. And it's loosely based around the Matt Lauer situation, but it is really intense. It's a very hard watch, so just be prepared. But I cannot recommend it more for everyone to watch and go, okay, so this is what happens when this isn't such a cut and dry definition of sexual assault, but how it still affects people and how it still matters to have these discussions. It is really, really well done.
Nice. All right, moving on to books. I just realized how many I wrote down, so I'm not going to say them all because it's too many books. Sapiens is really great if you are currently at home and you've started, like, nesting. I'm on the Marie Kondo Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up train. Loved that book. Bossy Pants, How to Be a Woman is a great book. Born Standing Up. Guns, Germs, and Steel is a particularly apt read right now. I just reread it and was like, oh my god. Anything by Richard Wiseman, anything by Dan Ariely. The Gift of Fear is always a book I recommend for anyone to read. And then Bedwetter by Sarah Silverman. Fantastic.
So I don't really read. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks, or I have read a couple of things. So the audiobooks that I've listened to, I just get them. I have a library card, which if you have a library card, I think most libraries now have like an app or access to some sort of audiobook or book download thing, which is great. So I've listened to Amy Poehler's Yes, Please. It's amazing. Anything by David Sedaris is perfect. Then Julie Andrews has two autobiographies, one called Home and one called Homework. They're really, really good. Of course, Harry Potter narrated by Stephen Fry, all of them. Yep. A Woman First, First Woman, which is the book from the show Veep, quote unquote, by Selena Myers, who is Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character. And then I've also gotten into listening to Agatha Christie audiobooks because they're narrated really well. So you really get involved in the story just because of the great narration.
Awesome. Lifehacker is a website online that has been posting lots of really interesting quarantine-specific content lately that I love. Let's move on to YouTube. I'm a big fan of Sorted. That's a food YouTube series from England. Adam Savage's Tested. It's like building stuff. Beauty Within is all about skincare. Vlogbrothers is comedy kind of advice. And then Zay Frank is just surrealist, weird YouTube content. So weird. Zay Frank, he's the man. Do you have any YouTube videos that you subscribe to?
Nope, I don't subscribe to any.
Well, Harrison just came out with a YouTube series that's pretty freaking watchable.
Oh yeah, well, so Harrison came out with the dad vlogs, which is really fun. So Harrison plays this middle-aged dad who is trying to create vlogs because he has something to say. Everybody else is saying something, so he wants to say something too. And he never gets to say what he wants to say. So those are really, really funny. It came from a character that he did at the Groundlings with two other guys who are the guys who play his sons. And they just released another one where Harrison and the two sons try to teach everybody how to use Zoom. And it is a chaotic disaster in the best possible way. So yeah, those are definitely go check out dad vlogs because they're really funny.
If you Google dad vlogs, it comes up. They're really good. They're really, really good. And I think that's, what about like projects? What have you been working on? Have you built anything?
So yeah, I've been doing just sort of really fun little projects. So I got a logic puzzle book. So I was having a lot of good time with that. 3D printing a lot. Doing like little remodeling projects around the house have been really fun. But the one big thing that I've done is we have a cupboard under the stairs. And if you're a Harry Potter fan, that means something to you. So it's about halfway done at this point, but the outside is done. So there's a picture of Harrison that's this painting, an oil painting of him as a 19th century U.S. president. And so you say the password. It's very much like the Hogwarts common rooms. So you say the password, you open up, and it's just a brick wall, which is really just a brick shower curtain. You have to hit the three correct bricks, and then it opens up into basically a Diagon Alley reading nook. So I'm really excited. When it's done, I think it's going to be really fun. There's like a beanbag in there and the 3D puzzles that make Diagon Alley that I've been working on. So that's a big project for me that's been really great.
Good. We are gardening indoors, so most of the apartment is a garden now. I built this set that I am referring to as this because Kayla can kind of see it, but it's not really set up right now. But I have a set with fancy lights and a bounce and a reflector and for doing videos and such. And it's pretty well established. And I also yesterday spent basically all day building cardboard prototype versions of a new shower caddy system that I can travel with that like collapses and goes into my bag that keeps all my skincare products in the correct order so that I don't have to remember what goes on first. And it's kind of great. I already want to redesign it, but I'm doing a cardboard version and then I have acrylic sheet and I'm going to build a plastic version, like a really nice fancy plastic one afterwards, because that's what I do with my time. And I've done a lot of file management. So like I've taken all of the pictures of receipts out of all of my documents and off my phone and put them all into Expensify. I've changed Google Photos, so now Google Photos is only like pictures from my life and not as much like promo crossover, and all that stuff lives on a different thing. And so I've spent hours and hours on file management, but it's very satisfying to kind of look at it and be like, ooh, everything's labeled and searchable and all of my notes are, I had ran them through a text reader, and so now they're all searchable files that can be put into Evernote, so that if I think about something and I'm like, oh, didn't once I had an idea about crayons, I can search crayons and then my ideas about crayons will come up. It's pretty great. It's not finished, but it's 10% finished. It's good. Yeah. It's a digital life thing. Yeah. The digital project. Great. All right. The very tip of the top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, of Shazam's hierarchy of needs. We're reclaiming it. It's ours now. This is our thing. Is self-actualization. And here's the thing about self-actualization, because self-actualization is something you want in your life typically when things are going well. You know, this is about achieving one's full potential and feeling like you're the best version of yourself. And we're not there yet. And this is kind of what that meme that Miranda sent us was about. You're not going to be doing that right now. You're not your best self. No one's their best self.
I think I'm absolutely my best self. I have slept later than normal, and I have discovered new clothes that I have because all my clothes are dirty. So gotta go deep into the clothes collection. That's been nice. Ice cream. Yeah. I feel like my best self. The end.
Awesome. Okay. Well, hopefully you found this helpful and useful. And if you have any other questions, you know, you can message us on the Shazam Facebook group and we will maybe do another one of these that is more catered towards like physical things. So I think mostly we talked about digitally stuff and project-based stuff. But hopefully there was something here that you went, oh yeah, Libby, I should definitely download the Libby app. And you should, and you should drink water.
Or just whiskey. Whiskey also works.
Or bourbon. So thank you very much for joining us on this very special episode of Shazam. And remember,
get yourself some whiskey in a cupboard under the staircase, and we're all going to make it through this just fine. Stay safe.
Shazam is sponsored in part by the Society of American Magicians. Thank you, SAM. Go join a club.
Oh, Carissa's coming back. Carissa's back.
I think I hung up on you with the button on my headphones.
Got it. Oh, fun. I just imagined you were like, I'm so excited for cold brew. And
I am done talking about Postmates.